WCQ CQ Arizona, and welcome to Ham Radio and More. We're here live from Rawhide in Scottsdale, Arizona, and we are actually going to take phone calls. Any of you that were at the fair today, the Family Amateur Radio event here in Rawhide, which was a smashing success, and we will have tons of, no, nothing got smashed, but we had a smashing success nonetheless. All the people are sitting around. We got a great studio audience. Let's hear it, studio audience! Okay, yeah, there's at least 150 people. All right, I lied, all right. But anyway, we are taking phone calls. Anybody that was at fair today and wants to call in at 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN. We'll take your calls and tell us how all the things we did wrong at fair today. But it was a great day put together by so many people's hard work. I mean, unbelievable. We had 13 different clubs participating. And I want to go right initially, and we're going to have tons of guests here. We have the Salvation Army Emergency System here, service team here. We have the National Weather Service here, Skywarn. We have the Red Cross is over here. We have Mars here. We have DX Association. We have everybody and anybody. The Amateur Television Group is here. We even have somebody taking all kinds of pictures. We had Ronald McDonald early. He was good. Did a lot of good magic. He sawed Connie in half, and well, we don't know where the other half is anymore, but no one wanted Norm anyway. But anyhow, we had great mariachi band from Kyle Hayden High School, and just a great effort by everybody. So first I want to turn to Barney, who's on my left, Barney Fagan, KB7KOE, the head guru of the ARA Tower Fund, and also a great helper in handling all the parking. So how was it, Barn?
Well, I came out yesterday evening and to get set up and be all ready, and I was going to sleep out here, which I did, and Rawhide helped out. They had a country western band that could really thunder till 12:15 this morning. Anyway, I didn't get a lot of sleep, but I was up at 5:45 at the gate, and people were out there ready to come in. And I have an exact count yet without looking into the things, but I know the original parking lot we were going to use overflowed early, and we used probably twice as much space as we thought we would need, and that's an indication that we've been successful. Some people didn't quite know how to understand what we were doing with this, because this isn't your normal ham fest with a bunch of tailgaters and a lot of old boat anchors. This was an event with a lot of things for a lot of people that had a swap meet. It was not driven by the swap meet, as many ham fests are.
No, but too bad too many people, a lot of people that were here, if there was a negative, the negative was it's still the ham radio mentality. I don't mean that negatively, but they're here to come to the swap meet, and then they saw everything, they quickly walked around, and then they didn't stay. So, I mean, there was tons of people. You couldn't even walk in here or in the swap meet area about 11 o'clock. But then it starts 1 o'clock or so, it started filtering out. We got to get them to want to stay a little longer because there are so many good seminars still left, et cetera.
Well, a lot of those guys' kitchen pass ran out about 12 o'clock.
That's what it is.
And that was the problem. Mom didn't let them stay out after dark, and they had to get home in time for lunch. But I'll tell you, I only had a couple of people who, one guy came and he said, man, there wasn't hardly anything at the swamp meet. I don't think it was worth it. And I said, well, what about what you saw in the building? And he said, what building? And I said, well, everything's going on inside there. And he said, I didn't even see a building. And that means he never did look up from the swap tables. But I sent him back, and a little later, about 2 hours later, he came out and he said, hey, that's good. I almost missed all that. So it's a great thing, I feel, that we've done far better than the planners had hoped. I think we've been very successful.
Oh, I think we exceeded it. I also want to say, anybody listening in the vicinity of Rawhide, come on down. There's no charge to get in right now. You can come in, watch what we're doing, and there's still time to get in on our delicious cookout dinner tonight here at Rawhide, and there's going to be steaks, and you know that Rawhide is famous for the largest steaks in at least Arizona, and they're going to be barbecued with chicken, and there's chicken dinners and children's dinners, so if you want, come on down, it's still available. Plus, in about, 20 minutes, we're going to draw for some fantastic prizes. If you hurry up, Chuck will fit you in. So, and all you people here, did you get your last raffle tickets?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So we had a good turnout. You had a good parking turnout. The Tower Fund, you took in some money for Tower Fund today?
Well, I'm not sure. Howard took in quite a lot. I have no idea. We were at $10,051 when I left him last night, and he said he's done very well, but he doesn't have an exact count. And also, we had a power supply raffle, which all had to be profit today because I'd collected enough up to this point at Tut Hill and at the club to pay for the power supply. So whatever he sold on the little green tickets is all profit for the Tower Fund. So I think we'll get there.
That's fantastic. Okay, any questions from any of our studio audience here? Anybody want to comment about fair today? Don't all speak at once now. I mean, you know, all right, if nobody else wants to comment, I thank you, Barney. Okay?
I guess that means I leave.
That means you leave? Well, at least that got a rise out of everybody. Okay, let's see, Salvation Army, come on down. We're going to talk to the Salvation Army Emergency Radio Team. And they're new to Arizona. You know, they've not been at any ham fest locally that I know about. And welcome.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, nodding won't do it on radio.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm a novice with this sort of thing. You know, I don't get on the radio. I'm only...
So you're brand new, though, to Arizona. I mean, this is like a debut for you guys.
Well, I personally have been here about 8 years, but this is the first organized event that we have attended.
How many volunteers do you have of hams?
Oh, of hams, it's not very large yet. There's probably only about 15 or 20 hams right now in the West, but that's mostly because we're not too well known yet.
Okay, so the idea is we want to get you more well known, and you're looking for volunteers.
Oh, absolutely. We're looking for volunteers, and I can give a phone number here or an address. And
both?
My name is Warren, and I'm the one that you would contact, and I can be reached at 267-4159. 267-4159. And I am an employee of the Salvation Army, but not for the communications end. My job is with computers, and I'm a volunteer as far as the amateur radio goes, just like everyone else. And a mailing address, if somebody wants to mail in a letter or an application or something, that would be to my attention at 2707 East Van Buren Street in Phoenix, and the zip code is 85008.
Are there any special qualifications or anything? I mean, what are you looking for?
The qualification is that when the chips are down and we need help, that we can call on you and that you're going to be available. And, you know, there's no pay. It's just what amateurs do best, helping. We're needed.
Do you work, like, with the Red Cross, or are you, I mean, in the same events, obviously, or same catastrophes?
We do. We have an agreement, a working agreement with them. We do not operate normally real closely. They're usually doing their thing and we're doing our thing. But we cooperate with each other for a goal of most effective operation.
Okay, so if they have a strong willingness and they're even a no-code tech can help out.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's many ways that people can volunteer, not just amateur radio. There's many things that need to be done. And the Salvation Army operates primarily with volunteers. We have, at that same phone number, person who is a volunteer coordinator is their actual title, and what they do is take people that want to volunteer and match them up with jobs that need to be done.
Okay, so if a person volunteers, what can they expect to be doing? Passing traffic, emergency traffic, on 2 meters or 440 or something like that? Is that what you're normally using?
It depends on what the need is. I'll be honest with you, here in Arizona, we haven't had any disasters.
Well, thank God. Let's knock on wood, guys.
Absolutely. So it's hard to handle traffic when you don't have any messages. But we certainly expect that there are going to be emergencies. In particular, we all know how California is going to fall into the ocean, or so it's said.
Yeah.
And if you look at that situation, you say, well, what's California? How's that going to affect us? But the fact is that when the major earthquake happens in Southern California...
Well, yeah, we'll find out from the Weather Service,
right,
if the earthquake's really going to happen. He'll go tell us the exact date and time.
Well, I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that it will press every resource to the limits because there will be so many people coming this way trying to get away from it. And also, while most people don't realize it, We would also lose most of our food supplies, which come from California, our fuel for our automobiles, which comes from California through pipes. We're going to be hurting, too.
We better get NAFTA so we can go down to Mexico and pick up some meat.
Now, there you go.
We don't... There's trucks going by here for Mars, which is the military affiliated radio services. We'll talk to them a little bit later on. I see from the brochure I have here that you guys perform quite a bit, as did the Red Cross, in the Midwest.
Absolutely. And also during the hurricanes of the previous years in Hawaii, we sent teams there and also assisted down in the South. But with this latest thing, the flood victims, we have had a lot of money donated to us, nearly $100,000, which
okay.
has gone into just specifically to helping people in those areas. The large canteen that we have here, you see over on the other side, we have a lot of units like that that have gone into that area, and the people that have been forced out of their homes, you know, they still have to eat. And it may not seem like much, but, you know, a mobile kitchen serving hot food can be very valuable. And we're also involved quite heavily with the cleanup operation.
Did you get involved at all? I'm sorry. Did you get involved at all in the floods here when we had them in the beginning of this year?
We did have people involved. I personally was not involved because, again, the phone service was working fine, and there was no need for the communications, which I'm primarily responsible for.
Okay, so what we got to do is we got to knock out all the phone lines so the Salvation Army can get some work. No,
so the hams
we don't.
Can get some
the
work.
Hams can get some work. No, we don't want to. Okay, so if anybody is interested in getting involved with the Salvation Army Emergency Radio Team here, just give Warren a call at 267-4159, 267-4159, and they could sure use your help. And I thank you for participating in our Family Amateur Radio event today, and hopefully. We'll do it again next year, and hopefully you can be here next year. Maybe you'll participate in some of the other ham fests that we have during the year.
Could be.
Okay. Thank you, Warren.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's see. Okay. Let's hear it for Warren. All right. Hopefully that got there. All right. Next, we're going to get the National Weather Service up because I want to know what the forecast is today. Okay. We still got a lot of stuff going on here. I see satellite television. Mars is going on. Carl Hayden, wow. Yeah, we're going to have people talking from Carl Hayden High School. And, Okay, I'm kind of exhausted. What a long day this is. So, Steve Sipple, I never got a chance to meet you until today. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Well, thank you very much, Len. It's fun to be out here at Rawhide, and it's just so nice to be a new ham. Only 1 year ago or so, I got my no-code tech, and this is a great opportunity to spread the word around about the National Weather Service and our
service. What's your call sign, Steve?
I'm KB7QHP.
Okay, super. Okay, so you've had it about a year now,
mm-hmm.
and you've worked for the National Weather Service for about how long?
I've been with them 13 years. I came right after the floods of 1980, and we just finished a big flood in the early part of this year. But we're really excited at the Weather Service. We're excited because we have a lot of new technology. I have with me a brochure here. It talks about our Doppler radar. We call it the 88D radar, and this is the newest technology that's going to improve the quality and the other reliability of various products that we send out various times.
Well, it sure looks like a nice color brochure. I didn't get over there to get one of these. Okay, tell us what your... Because last year, all I heard was we can't wait for the new radar because before it was like, if I'm not mistaken, Jurassic Park, the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park were newer than the equipment that the National Weather Service had.
Well, the old radar was really based upon technology from the 50s, and we had the 74C. That was set up in the 70s, and now we've got the 88D, and we're excited because of the Doppler technology.
And aren't you, like, one of the first areas in the country to have this, or no?
Well, Oklahoma was the first. Various other regions around the country had the Doppler radar, but we're the first here in the western region, and of course the first in Arizona.
Well, tell us what this does that is just fantastic over and above the others.
Well, with the Doppler technology, The radar.
And some of the people out there don't know what Doppler is, so explain that. We're going to get you, you know.
Well, the radar simply sends out a strong pulse, and the target, whether it be a precipitation target or any other kind of target, will simply reflect that energy. And the output of this radar is about 750,000 watts.
What?
And it's a big, powerful radar.
No wonder my TV is going on, and they blamed it on ham radio. 750,000 watts?
That's peak power.
That's right. Almost as much as we put out at KFNN. Go ahead, Steve.
So we're able to detect these storms, and we're able to watch the precipitation echoes as well as the new velocity pattern. So we can see the various rotational and convergence lines that's occurring in the atmosphere, where the old radar was not able to do that.
Well, I also noticed, wasn't there at the old radar, it wasn't in color or anything? Now you've got beautiful, I mean, this is, you know, psychedelic.
Yeah, we've got a lot of color enhancements that we're showing, able to detect the lowest reflectivity and velocity fields, as well as the supercell or the severe weather. And as the sky-worn net focal point, you know, we're interested in severe storms, and we've got a real good organization of about 50 people now who are involved in reporting these severe storms and helping to support what the radar shows.
Does that mean that you're really happier when we have thunderstorms here in the Phoenix area? Does that mean you don't like when you say sunny and mild, high about 100, you want it to be windy and rain?
Yeah, that's right. We get a little excited when there's thunderstorms out there.
I mean, I've called John Moore, NJ7E, and I got him on the phone, and he's crying because it's too sunny and nice.
Yeah, John is always excited when there's severe weather. Being from Tornado Alley, he's excited when we get some weather around here.
Okay, we have Skywarn. Now, before we get into Skywarn, we also have, do we have thunderstorm chasers or something here? Because I know in Chicago area, there's like a thunderstorm chasers group, and I mean, they're crazy.
Well, once an organization gets started, like in Tornado Alley, other parts of the country like to take off, and we've got the Arizona State Thunderstorm Chasers, and they use some of the equipment down at the forecast office, and our radio is right next to the Thunderstorm Chasers radio.
So when there's a thunderstorm, they actually get in their cars, try to get hit by lightning, or tell us what they try to?
Well, they have to have the real large supercells or multiple cells thunderstorms out there, and of course they're watching for any severe storms to develop and helping our services and issuing warnings and stuff like that.
Okay. We want to remind people you're listening to Ham Radio and More on KFNN. I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW. And if you were thinking that when you turned in today you were going to hear On a Roll, that's on an hour earlier. So Greg Smith is on a roll at 3 o'clock, 3 to 4, and I come on at 4 o'clock, 4 to 6. So if you're looking for Greg Smith, you missed him. He was on an hour before me. And I want to remind people our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN. And if you have a question about weather, the weather service, Skywarn, et cetera, want to hassle Steve Sipple because you don't like the weather, we'll be happy to take your calls and make sure that the phone lines are in operation. So why don't you give us a call so we can check it out. Meanwhile, I hope Ted is ready to take a break. And if he is, I'm going to let him go take a break. And then when we come back, if there are any phone calls at 230-2755, 230-2755, we'll talk to Steve and you on the radio, on the telephone, and then right after that, we're going to find out exactly what Skywarn is and if they're looking for any more volunteers and how we can volunteer. So, again, you're listening to Ham Radio and More here on KFNN, and we're broadcasting live from Rawhide. Take it away, Ted.
When a major earthquake hit San Francisco in 1989, amateur radio operators were there to relay information when phone service was interrupted. A year ago, when hurricanes ravaged Florida and Louisiana, ham operators were there to aid in disaster relief efforts. And during the Gulf War, amateur radio volunteers worked as Mars operators, relaying messages from service people in the Gulf to loved ones back home. Time after time, amateur radio enthusiasts have given. volunteering their services during times of need. The Valley Petri dealerships recognize the fact that hams are special people. That's why licensed hams receive special fleet pricing on new Buicks, Isuzus, Chryslers, Plymouths, Jeeps, and Eagles. You can save real money on a new car, truck, minivan, or 4x4. For more information on this money-saving program, contact the fleet manager at any of the Valley Petri dealerships. For fleet prices on new Buicks or Isuzus, contact Joe Bertoni at Petri Buick Isuzu, 994-9451.
This is KFNN Mesa Phoenix, and you're listening to the Ham Radio More radio show live from Rawhide. Once again, let's go back to Lynn Winkler, who I believe is standing by with on his mic position three. Please, Lynn. Lynn?
Okay, I'm here, and again, we're here at Rawhide. Thank you, Ted. Len Winkler, KB7LPW. We're back to Ham Radio and More here on KFNN, doing it live from Rawhide Pavilion. And there's still time to come on down. If you're a ham radio operator and you forgot about it, or you were busy all day, you can come and join us for dinner. We're going to have a great band, hayride, and great steaks. And so come on down. We got still a good show ahead of us. We got a lot of people we're going to talk to. So Steve Sippel, we're talking to right now, KB7QHP from the National Weather Service, and I didn't hear any phones ringing in my ears, so I don't know if we have anybody on the line. But Steve, tell us about Skywarn. What is Skywarn, and how can you join, and do you want us to?
Well, Warren earlier mentioned the importance of volunteers, and of course Skywarn is another volunteer organization. It's a nationwide organization. It originated because of the need for reporters and observers in Tornado Alley, people who need to get the word back to the Weather Service regarding tornadoes, regarding severe thunderstorms. And we started our Arizona Skywarn Net in 1988. We've been very active in recent months, and we have about 50 members here at the present time.
Tell us exactly what you do as Skywarn. A person who is a volunteer, what would they do?
Well, we had a good example of that about, two or three weeks ago. The National Weather Service Severe Storms Forecast Center will issue a severe thunderstorm watch box. You often see that in the Midwest, but here in Arizona, it was for parts of Arizona, and we were able to activate our net. We were able to get the people in place before the severe storms developed. That's the purpose of a watch, is to increase the awareness. So we had a lot of people aware of the severe storm threat, and there early or later on that day, we had a severe thunderstorm form near Coolidge, and we had some damage, but our radar helped a lot there also.
You want to explain to everybody the difference between a thunderstorm watch and a thunderstorm warning?
Well, the severe thunderstorm watch is always issued by the Kansas City Severe Storms Forecast Center. And they've got a responsibility for the entire country to put out these watch boxes. It might be typically 70 miles either side of a line from Phoenix to Tucson, for example. And then several hours later, hopefully the thunderstorms develop, but we don't always get the ground truth reports, and that's what the Skywarn people are involved in, is reporting the ground truth, what we actually see out there.
Okay, I just was handed a bulletin, special announcement of the winners of the major event items here at Fair. So if you just drove home, and your name comes up here, come on back down and get your prize. The third place winner of an Emerson 19-inch color television is Don Wilson, KB7WPN. Don Wilson, KB7WPN. Congratulations. The winner of an Astron RS35 power supply with meters is Jim Cowgill, KB7WBG, KB7WBG. What I can say about those first two winners, they're new hams. So that was pretty interesting. Two new hams won those two things. And it's obvious that the winner of the big prize, it's not a new ham. Okay, that doesn't mean he's an old man. Steve? Oh, you didn't say that. Okay. The winner of a Kenwood TS-50S, valued at over $1,200. Still costs you over $1,000 even if you buy it at the local store on sale. Anyway, a Kenwood TS-50S, Bill Kasanovich, W-A-8-K-F-C, W-A-8-K-F-C, Bill Kasanovich, a Kenwood TS-50S. Let's hear it for those three. Oh, what a live studio audience could do. Okay, congratulations. All right. Okay, I'm sorry, I had to get that. That was the three prizes. Are any of them here today? Are any of them here now? Any of the three here that won? Oh, okay. Nobody's here that won. All right. Well, you guys, I'll just have to take it home and use it myself. No? Oh, Steve, you can use it at National Weather Service. Okay. All right. So, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You were talking about Skywarn, and I forgot where we were.
Well, we were talking about watches and warnings, Len.
Okay.
And the issuance from Kansas City is usually a severe thunderstorm watch, and it includes a certain portion of Arizona, typically 70 miles either side of a line. And then the thunderstorms develop in part, hopefully in part of that box area. And our Skywarn observers are out there watching the development, and if there's any rotation or possible funnel clouds developing into tornadoes, we're out there to report right into the Weather Service.
Now, a lot of people have the idea, I mean, I did, that there's no tornadoes, there's no hurricanes, there's no earthquakes in Arizona. And now, okay, obviously, I know that there was a tornado not long ago, but I had no idea there were earthquakes in Arizona. I mean, not that the National Weather Service gets involved with that, but, you know, but I found out about that earlier this year when they said there was one near the Grand Canyon. But most people don't think of tornadoes in Arizona. We do get them, don't we, and frequently.
We certainly do, Len. We've got tornadoes occurring in the wintertime. A cold front typically moves in from California, and the moisture and the heating are two important ingredients for the formation of these tornadoes. So we need the spotters out there through Skywarn to keep an eye on the sky for us. This is a huge state, and we don't have very many large cities, but we need the people out there watching.
Okay, and have we ever had a hurricane hit Arizona? I mean, has there ever been something that traveled that far inland?
Well, we do get remnants of hurricanes, Len, and about a year ago, former Hurricane Lester came in and really flooded out a lot of part of Arizona. They had several inches of rain.
Okay, now what about satellites? Now, I know this is somewhat of a touchy subject with the National Weather Service, but I want to know for sure, do we get a lot of our pictures from foreign country satellites?
We get our main satellite data from the GOES satellite. And
whose is that? Is that an American?
That's ours.
Okay.
That's ours, you bet. And we're out there watching satellite is what they call a geostationary.
And that
satellite.
Means?
And that means it's always focusing in on part of the United States all the time. So any storms, or hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever that develop within range of the GO satellite.
Okay. Any questions out there for the National Weather Service, guys? Come on. Come on, studio audience. There's so many of you. Somebody must have a question. Nobody. How come what?
Not available locally, and I just wonder why we get a blank screen.
On what?
On the TV, with the weather.
National Weather Service?
I don't know what the blank screen means.
Oh, on the Weather Channel? I don't know. He doesn't get involved with that. Okay. Come on, you guys can't have no questions. Is there any truth to the fact that we're going to get rid of Fahrenheit and go to all Celsius?
Well, the Celsius and Fahrenheit debate has been going on for years, Len, but I don't know as if there's any change in the works for that.
Oh, we have a caller online. I heard that. Okay.
Okay, our caller is Jim. He's N7TCF. And, Lynn, if you put the master in position 3 also, go ahead.
Do the master to 3?
Right.
Okay, we're set. Go ahead, Jim. One more here on KFNN.
I hear you. Yes, we should go to Celsius. Get rid of Fahrenheit. Now's my editorial comment. I was out there today, and talked to the fellows from the National Weather Service, and I came up with another question I forgot to ask.
Go ahead.
Is there any way that the average ham can get information on what is called the lapse rate, or the rate of change of the temperature? And in layman's terms, this would tell us when we have a duct, when there's a possibility of ducting to San Diego or Los Angeles or someplace.
Well, that's a good question about the temperature lapse rate. Is a rather uniform change in temperature with height, and we often see the inversion setting up at nighttime, and ducting frequently happens out here in Arizona. But I think more information can be obtained at any public library around the Phoenix area.
Well, that's the ducting isn't always present, and so you could spend a lot of time pointing your antenna, you know, in the wrong direction or at a place where a duct doesn't exist. So I know that it's pretty steady because it's a desert. In the East Coast, it changes rather rapidly. They have ducting, you know, almost on a daily basis there. It seems to only happen a couple times a year in the Phoenix area, at least.
Well, we do have ducting, although I think it's a function of moisture as well as temperature, and we do have the diurnal or the daily change in temperatures here, but not much change in moisture. One thing about it.
What I was trying to find out is, is there a way that like I could obtain that information from you? Is there a, you know, like maybe a bulletin board service, or I know, you know, you can't get that off the television weather service.
Well, we do have the National Weather Service office. We're located in the Salt River Project administration building in Phoenix, and we'd be able to accommodate you there.
I'll give them a call on Monday or Tuesday.
Okay. And what did you think of FAIR?
I enjoyed it. I wish I had more time. I have about only about 50 calculus questions to finish here tonight.
That's all? Just 50?
Just
taking a major exam tomorrow?
No, this is just a regular homework.
Oh, okay.
I would have spent more time. I felt guilty being there in the first place.
Oh, well, we're glad you came by. But so you at least were exposed to something.
Yeah, and I think it was a pretty good setup. The maybe some more publicity next year in some of the more conventional media. I don't recall seeing you in the New Times or, you know.
We did have an article, thanks to Julie Newberg of the Arizona Republic. There was a little article in it in her column yesterday.
Yeah, well, for a first effort, I think it came off real well.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for calling, Jim.
Okay.
Anything else?
Oh, well, yes. What is the first derivative of 4 minus 3x over 2 plus x?
Okay, who knows the calculus answer to that? Someone said punt. Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Hey, how about that? Look at this. Appliance ham me. I got this working. Don't I get any applause? All right. Okay. Okay. Was there a question? Where was the guy with the question? Oh, what did he do? Run away? Okay. Any other questions for the National Weather Service here from our studio audience? Okay.
Haven't you recently upgraded radar in the local area from the old stuff to new stuff?
Well, the 88D is our newest Doppler radar. We're online right now, Barney, and we're putting out products, both reflectivity as well as velocity products. So we can see these gust fronts, these dust storms coming in, even though there's no precipitation associated with those.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, yes, come on up here. Come on, Shirley. Let's go. Come on. Okay, here she comes. Our studio audience is on their way. It's we're a small show here. Question.
Yes, the gentleman that asked you a question, weatherman, he wanted to know when it rained in Arizona. He said he had to be on his way. And Mayor, Arizona, I'll take that back.
When it rains in Arizona.
He said that he needs rain, and Mayor, Arizona, for you to get busy, he just thought he'd let you know.
Well, liquid sunshine does occur here once in a while, yes.
Oh, he wants to know when it is going to rain, huh? Yeah, well, who here wants it to rain? Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, we got a bunch of people. All right. Tell us, there's a Skywarn Net also that takes place. Tell us a little about that.
Len, every Wednesday night we have a general information net. It's on 440, 9 p.m., lasts usually 30 minutes to 45 minutes, and it's a good opportunity for people to get any announcements from the National Weather Service. Keep up to date with some of the latest changes and some of the storms that we are affected with.
And what's the exact frequency?
We use the South Mountain Repeater, 442-125.
Okay, 442-125, Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. for the Skywarn Net. So that would be interesting. Maybe you'll get a few people to listen in. And do you still do want volunteers, don't you? Or
well,
how do you do that?
We're looking for volunteers around the state, Len. People in the outlying areas, obviously, are more flash flood prone than the Phoenix area. The canyons, although people don't live in the canyons, they live close to them. People are urged to join in, especially the Sedona, Oak Creek Canyon area, Flagstaff area. We need people out in the outlying areas.
Okay, and what number or where should they call? What should they do if they're interested and they're in the outlying areas and they want to get involved with Skywarn?
Well, the National Weather Service can be reached by writing.
Okay.
Post Office Box 52025, Phoenix, Arizona, 85072. And attention, Steve Sipple.
Okay, Steve. Well, I want to tell you that it's a pleasure finally meeting you. Heard your name for over a year and a half. Was fortunate to have one of you guys talk to us at the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club and did a very good job. And then the same gentleman was on my show, and we talked about weather for an hour. And it was funny because the following Wednesday on Larry King's show, they had a weatherman from the National Weather Service talking about weather. I said, oh, he got the idea from me, of course. So, I thank you, and I appreciate you coming out and having the National Weather Service here. I don't think you've ever been at a Ham Fest function, have you?
No, this is my second one, Len. I was at the Tattail Ham Fest.
Oh, but did you have a booth?
No.
Oh,
no,
see, this is the first time that the National Weather Service has had a booth that participated at all.
Right. We're real happy to be here.
Okay. Tell us what you thought about FAIR the first time, first FAIR. I know you're going to say only good things, but tell us something.
I'm always looking for more and more people to come on out. This is a great day for us.
Okay. Well, again, thank you, Steve. Appreciate you spending your time also on the radio.
Thank you, Len.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you, Steve. Okay, now you're listening to Ham Radio and More here on KFNN, and it's live. Yes, we're not dead yet. We're live here at Rawhide. And let's see, our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755. And I love going through what it takes to make phone callers on the air. So if you're listening and you are here today at FAIR, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. Ted is at the studio. Ted, the former Ham Lake, is at the studio, ready to take your phone calls at 230-2755. And we got Barney back here. He wants to talk about the Tower Fund and the drawing. So go ahead, Barney.
Right. Well, first of all, I want to thank all the people who have given kind words, both verbally and in letters, with their donations, and all the people who've tried to help in every way they could. We had donations as small as $1 and as high as $500. And one of the significant things, the $500 donation, the man who did it anonymously and had all his tickets go to Carl Hayden High School.
Fantastic.
Unfortunately, they didn't win, but probably a guy who bought one ticket did. I don't know. I'll announce him shortly. But again, I want to thank everyone. We still don't have all the money we need. I'm still going to be after the ARA members who haven't kicked in. I won't be after 25, but I'll be after 20 or more.
And you better believe that he's now going to get on the warpath.
I'm going to give everybody a personal invitation. This time they won't feel like they've been ignored.
Are you going to make them an offer they can't refuse?
I'm going to embarrass them. Anyway, I'd like to announce the little drawing, and that was the one that was $1 a ticket or 6 for $5 for the Astron 35M power supply. Thanks to everybody who helped with that. And that winner of that was Bill Martin, K7ERI. And he's of Phoenix, and I'll get in touch with you. I got your phone number. And if you're not here, we'll get it to you, or we'll let you pick it up. That sucker's heavy. And now for the big drawing, the one everybody's been waiting for, the ICOM 3238.
Oh, you don't have to read it even, Barney, because you know I won it.
Sorry about that.
I didn't win. You promised me.
Well, guys selling raffle tickets promise anything. Anyway, the dual-band mobile cross-bandable ICOM 3238 with all the boards, speaks Japanese, was won by Ron Thomas, KB7TJZ, also of Phoenix. And I'll be getting in touch with you, Ron, if you're not out in the audience today here or on the radio audience. If you are on the radio audience, you call me at 861-2817, either one of you guys.
In fact, if either of you are listening, or if Bill Kazanovich or Jim Cowgill or Don Wilson are listening, give us a call at 230-2755 so that I can hear from you on the radio so I know where I have to go to use these items.
And thanks again, everybody. I'll see you around the campus in the collecting lines. We did pretty well out here today. I don't have a total, but I'll be putting that out at the next ARA meeting. Thanks a lot, and bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Barney. And thank you, Barney, for all your hard work on the Tower Fund. We need that up. Okay, I've got with me here for the last few minutes of this hour, and then we've got Mars coming in the next hour. We got the DX Club. Yeah, that's right, Lee. We'll get you. We got you. I heard how many contacts. I almost couldn't believe it. But we'll talk to Mars, and we'll talk to Carl Hayden High School. So we got a lot of stuff in the next hour. But we had face painting for the kids. And my goodness, I mean, they put my call sign, and I saw it caught on real good. One other person did it. But anyway, three others. Oh, okay. So Glory, N7UKZ, welcome to the microphone of Ham Radio and More.
Hello.
Okay, don't talk too loud there, Laurie. We don't want to scare everybody away. Okay, tell me, how was the face painting? What did the kids think?
They liked it, as far as we know. It was fun. We made a lot of money.
Amanda, what did you? Amanda's here too. There's four of them at the face painting booth. Amanda, what? You know, you're not a ham. You're going to become one, I know. And what did you think of this event and the face painting in particular?
I thought this was a cool event and.
A cool event. That's for those of you out in the studio audience that are over 100. That's what they mean when they think it's great. Go ahead.
And the event was really neat. There were a lot of neat people here, and thank you. I don't know.
That's it? What, were the kids excited getting their faces painted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some even cried.
Cried getting their faces? You mean you hurt them by putting face paint on them?
No, we didn't hurt them. They were scared.
Really?
Yeah.
Aw. okay. All right, Lori, so what did you think of this ham radio get-together since you are a ham, N7UKZ?
I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I think it was better than any of the other ham fests that we've ever had.
Whoa. Okay. Did you walk around and see all the other booths? I know that the face painting was probably your most exciting booth, but, what did you think of the rest of the place?
I don't know. I saw some of them. I didn't see all of them.
Any comments from, no comments from Sarah? Okay. So the rest of the crew doesn't have any comments. Okay. Well, thank you, Lori. And
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda.
Now
you can say you were on the radio. Okay. Anybody have any questions about face painting? No. Good. Okay. All right. But I'll tell you, it took everybody to make this work, and face painting was a major part of it, as was Bobby, who helped out in the kids' area and put on some seminars. And there was a seminar. Was anybody here? Did anybody here go to the birds seminar? Oh, did you? Does anybody want to tell us about it? Will you talk on the radio and tell us about it? Matthew, you want to do that? No? How about you? Would you do that? Tell us a little about what went on, or Karen? Oh, Karen. Okay, come on down. Come on down. Tell us what, because I heard there was a gigantic crowd for that. So why don't you, let me get this microphone. We'll make it easy. Makes it easy for you. Okay, what happened at the bird experience? I saw so many people there.
They had parrots. And
first of all, what's your name?
Katie,
are you any relative to Alan Cameron?
I'm his daughter.
I thought you might have been his mother or something. No, huh? Okay. So you're his daughter. Okay. When are you getting your license?
Probably when I'm 10 or 12.
10 or 12? Come on, Alan. Get N7UJJ, get cutting. Okay. Tell us about the birds. What kind of birds were there?
There was a cockatiel, I think.
That was pretty. I saw that one.
And
macaw. I thought there was a macaw. And what did they do? Did any of them talk?
We didn't hear
them. Oh.
I heard one.
Uh-huh. Did you see the Ronald McDonald show, too?
Yeah.
What did you think of the Ronald McDonald show?
It was funny.
Funny, okay. He did some magic and juggling, I saw. And did you know how he did any of his tricks?
I knew how he did all
of them. No! Come on! You're supposed to say that. But it was fun, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And the mariachi band was great.
Yeah.
I mean, they performed for a good hour or longer. They were very good. And they did all kinds of stuff. So did you have fun today?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you coming back next year?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And next year, maybe you'll even have your license by then.
Yeah.
Your dad will push you, I know, just like I pushed Laurie, and, now she resents me for life. So, okay. Well, thank you. You want to say 73 to everybody?
73.
Aha. See, look at that, Alan. We got her started already. Okay. Thank you. That was very nice. Okay. What a studio audience. Okay. I think we have about 2 minutes. Ted, is that correct? About 2 minutes to my exit?
That is correct.
Ah, thank you, Ted. It's a pleasure to hear that in my ear. Okay. Dennis Campbell, come here real quick. Come on. Up, real fast. Come back. Dennis Campbell is our public service man for the ARA, the Arizona Repeater Association. And you had a real nice booth there. I know that your wife did it. That's why it looks so good. But did you have a large turnout? People came by, and did you get some volunteers?
We had a lot of people come talk to us, and we got a few volunteers. And hopefully some people put all the events on their calendar, and they'll call me in a week or two after they check their calendars at home.
And we're talking about volunteering public service at public service events. For instance, what's upcoming? I know you're never at a loss for words.
Yeah, but I put all the papers out in the truck.
Oh, but you know anyway. Go ahead.
I know what they are. Okay. We have got bike rides. We have got walks. I think October 3rd is the Walktoberfest for, who's that, March of Dimes, I think. And we've got an event each weekend in October.
Wow.
And then we've got more events coming up in November. And then we'll have another, I think I counted 8 events this fall, and we've got 9 more coming up in the spring.
And if people want to help you, and all they need to be is a no-code tech, really they can even help if they're not a no-code tech in some cases, but really we need no-code techs or higher, right?
Right.
Okay, and if you have a handy talkie, that's really all you need. And who you should call?
You should call me, Dennis Campbell, at
979-6715. I'm not looking anywhere, and I know that phone number.
Everybody knows that number.
Okay, so if anybody is interested in helping out in public service, and it's really it's a good feeling when you help out.
Yeah, we love it. It's real interesting talking to the bike riders and the walkers at the various events.
You might even get a T-shirt or who knows what else. And also, with the new FCC law rules that just came out, you don't have to worry about violating any laws whatsoever. They took care of that. So I don't hear any of my music. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to, Ted. Ah, music. And let there be light. Okay, I thank everybody for listening this first hour. We're going to be back for our second hour, and we're going to talk to Lee Finkel for the Central Arizona DX Association, see what Barry Goldwater's call sign did today. We're going to talk to Robert Sutton, the chief of Army Mars, and we're going to find some other guinea pigs in the studio audience, maybe Dan Mayer to talk about Packet, and we'll see what else we're going to do in the next hour. So stay tuned to KFNN, Ham Radio, and more. And we're going to talk to Larry Brown of AMSAT, so stay tuned.
You're listening to Ham Radio and More with Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW.
5230-2755 or 1-800-293-KFNN. And we're broadcasting live from Rawhide in Scottsdale, Arizona, the site of where we had FAIR, the Family Amateur Radio event, today. And we had a turnout, we're saying, in excess of 3,000 people over the entire day. Based on the amount of cars and everything, there were over 1,300 cars. So that kind of brings us to around 3,000 people. So it was a very good turnout for our first time out. This hour is brought to you by Wallpaper World, Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall, and Financial Planning Unlimited. We're talking here to Lee Finkel, KY7M. Hello, Lee.
Hi, Len.
And you have been known to be on this show before.
Yeah, I should be a member of the, I don't know.
The honorary alumni of the Ham Radio and More group.
Four-timers club or something?
The four-timers club. Okay. You were in basically in charge with Millie Thompson of the Central Arizona DX Association station. And you want to tell us about why it was so unique and what it did today?
Yes, we had permission from Barry Goldwater to use his call sign today, K7UGA. And that made us very popular because Barry has not been very active on the bands, and it was a chance for many hams to talk with us, and we will be sending out QSL cards in a few weeks confirming all of the contacts. So each of over close to 650 people that
wow.
we talked to today in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, and one station in Mellish Reef down by Australia.
Really?
We're in the log. We had computerized logs of every contact. So we'll be printing up labels and sending special cards that one of our club members is printing for the event.
We can give him a little plug, actually. Jack Reed,
WA7LNW, who prints very fine QSLs right here in town.
Right, Jack Reed. And if anybody wants Jack Reed's phone number in order to get in contact to get QSL cards, excuse me, you can get in touch with, leave your name and number with Ted Lake, 230-2755 here at KFNN, and I'll be happy and call you during the week and give you Jack's phone number. I just don't have it in front of me. Oh, there's a caller online.
Okay, we have some call talk to talk about here. First of all, there was one caller who did not want to get on the air.
Okay.
Who wanted to know what the heck you're talking about, the special events frequency. And we have Dan on line one. He is N7MRP.
Okay, well, let's take Dan's call because I heard that was on a cellular phone. So let's take an MRP. Welcome to Ham Radio and More, Dan.
Hi, Lynn, and I got some good news here. I just wanted to let Mr. Kozanovich know that it pays to buy your tickets through the Arizona Network Intertie Group because you are now the proud owner of a Kenwood TS-50S mobile HF rig.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I had to let you know. I just couldn't resist.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that. I never win anything.
Well, hey. It pays to be a member of ASNET.
Now,
right,
Bill.
Right. That's
Bill.
The
Bill.
Group. I bought my ticket off of you, for crying out loud.
Yep. Bill, where do you live? Because this is Len. I want to be able to use that radio.
I'm here in Youngtown.
Oh, well, maybe
Some
that's out of
area.
My. Well, I'll have to come over and see it in use.
Well, you come on over anytime. You get it. I can't believe this.
Well, I'm going to have a great big posting on the bulletin board when we get home. One of our own.
Oh, geez, great. Well, we got the best BBS service in the whole state.
There we go.
Okay, congratulations, Bill. WA8KFC, winner of the Kenwood TS-50S, a value of in excess of $1,000.
Oh, geez, this is so...
See, now it was worth my interrupting your long-distance phone
oh,
call, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Oh, yeah, geez. Holy cow.
He sounds somewhat excited.
Oh, my God.
Of course, if Lee would have won that, he'd have been excited.
I'd be very excited.
What are you gonna do with it, Bill?
Oh, geez, I don't know yet. I'm let me get my...
director of the club, and it was great to have you support us, and your membership is much appreciated, and now it's paid off.
Oh, great.
Well, okay.
Where do I got to go to pick it up, or what?
What, Dan?
He wanted to know where to go to pick it up.
I don't have the answer yet.
Okay, well, that's all right.
But we'll get in touch with you.
Okay, good deal.
Okay.
Hey, Bill.
You guys are, hey, Dan, you're super, and the other guy's super. You guys are all right.
Yeah, I figured you'd say that, winning $1,000.
I'd be the first to tell you.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Dan and 7MRP, for giving us a call.
You bet.
And thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Drew.
All right,
okay.
Thanks, Bill.
Okay, Ted, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, Lee, a caller off the air. Ted, can you come back on and tell me again what that caller off the air wanted to know, Ted?
He did not want to go on the air, but he was wanted to know the particulars about the special events frequency that were referred to earlier.
Okay, what the frequency was and stuff?
We were on 14-260 to 14-250 on 20 meters most of the day. The Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club provided a tower for us. We had a three-element tri-bander up about 30-35 feet. And ran that with 100 watts and spent most of the day on 20 meters very effectively. We were going anywhere from 50 to 75 contacts an hour to get as many contacts as we had.
And were these contacts mostly voice, or were they all voice?
They were all voice, yes.
Oh, something I could have even done.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, Lee, well, I appreciate it. Any other comments? What radio were you using? What kind of radio?
Kenwood TS-930.
Okay, but not as good as Bill's TS-50S.
Not as good as a TS-50S, no. It's a very nice little radio. So we're looking forward to doing it again. We had some great big pileups with K7UGA's calls. So we had four or five stations at a time calling us, and we had to unpeel them one by one so we got everybody in the log.
And we want to thank publicly Senator Barry Goldwater, K7UGA, for letting us use his call sign.
Absolutely. Made things a lot of fun today.
And I thank the DX Club for participating and helping us do that, because without them, we couldn't have done it.
You're welcome.
And, okay. Thank you, Lee.
Okay, 73.
Okay, 73. All right. Thank you, Lee. Okay. See, we still have a loud studio audience. All right. Okay. Bob, Robert Sutton, the Chief of Army Mars. And now everybody's saying, what does Chief of Army Mars mean? Who is the Chief of Army Mars? Robert Sutton, AA, what's your call? AA7, AAAA? Oh, it's AAA9A or N7UZY. Robert, tell us, I had you on about a year and a half ago on my show. Tell us exactly what Mars is. I know that you'll be able to do that. And then tell us a little bit about Robert Sutton and your job at Army Mars.
Oh, good afternoon, Ken. It's a pleasure being back here. And first, I'd like to say I appreciate very much inviting us up here, myself and the state director here in Arizona for Army Mars, Mr. Bart Payne, sitting out there in the audience.
Hello, Bart. Okay.
And Connie Mercer, one of my special staff, who's running around getting ready to leave, I guess. Again, we appreciate it. We had a good time up here and picked up 12 new Mars members.
Hey, really?
And sent about 20-some messages out this afternoon all over the world.
Did you? Hey, so this was a real productive show for you guys.
Oh, yes, it certainly was. It was what we're all about. And very briefly, MARS stands for Military Affiliated Radio System. We're a Department of Defense-sponsored. There's three MARS programs, one for the Army, one for the Air Force, and one for the Navy Marines. And we all work together and support our respective services. Primary mission, of course, is to provide emergency support to the military and also to civil authorities on a national and international basis. This afternoon, the opportunity we had our stand over here was to set up a field station. For us, it was training.
Yeah, that's kind of unusual, isn't it, for Mars to set up a station? You know, I've seen you, even at Dayton, you guys were there, but there was no station operating, so I think we were privileged to have you guys set up a station.
Well, we were privileged to have the opportunity to come up here. We've started doing this year at every chance we've had. And
oh, now I don't feel special.
Oh, yes, you do, because we knew that this would be an opportune time to do it, being around hams as we are. And, again, it gave us a opportunity to test our capabilities. The system was successful. due to our folks, we had a 2-meter link down to Tucson, and from there it enters into our worldwide system. So
now a lot of people feel, you know, they know that during crisis like Desert Storm, et cetera, you know, a lot of traffic or a lot of information is passed because there's guys and gals on the front line in Iraq or in Kuwait. And via amateur radio, the only thing, you know, there's not a telephone on every street corner when they're in a foxhole. So via amateur radio, an actual ham radio is there, sent, and people are talking to people here, hams here in the United States, and via auto patch or a phone patch, they're able to talk to their spouses from the foxhole, I mean, in the front lines. So they understand, many people understand that during crisis that happens, but they're going to say now there's no crisis, but aren't you actually passing a lot of traffic to Somalia?
Affirmative. Yes, that's quite right, Ken. As our training mode, although most people know Mars is the morale and welfare part of the program, that's our training portion, and we love to do it because it is providing connectivity to loved ones and our soldiers, sailors, and airmen overseas. Right now in the Army Mars, we have stations in Somalia, Mogadishu, Kuwait. Still have a couple stations over in Saudi. And
oh, really?
To our normal Germany, Korea, Japan, Hawaii type situation.
So there still are stations in the Middle East?
Yes, there sure are, Ken. We've got two stations over there. Although there is connectivity through normal lines, we still maintain it. Still our folks using it. We're still running phone patches as part of the morale and welfare. But secondly, it keeps our operators over their train.
If people are interested in getting involved with Mars, whether it's Navy Mars, Army Mars, or Air Force Mars, is there one number they can call, or they do need to call three different numbers?
Well, either one of the chief's offices will handle the calls for either services. You know, we support our own particular service, but Mars in itself, especially at our levels, we're unilateral.
Well, we can get in a plug for Navy Mars here, too, because I see Bob sitting there, and I'm sure that Bob, he's never with a loss for words about Navy Mars. And I told a couple people who were former Navy people to see you there, did they, and talk to you for about 20 minutes telling you, because they said they were on the old tin cans and all that, and I didn't know what they were talking about. I thought they were eating sardines. You know, but, okay. So give us a number to call.
Well, for Army Mars, Bart Payne in Tucson is a gentleman. He's our state director, and he's given me the number, area code 602-881-6784. And with your permission, Ken, I'll send you up a flyer that give you some of the other numbers we have around. You know, all hams are welcome. The beauty of our program is that 96% of our 4,300 members in Army Mars are volunteer AMRA operators, and that's what makes the program so unique.
I'll tell you, I was really excited to receive that letter from General Schwarzkopf that you brought in. I mean, that was now about a year and a half ago, but thanking the ham radio operators, and he said if it wasn't for us, they could not have passed, and they passed 175,000, if I'm not mistaken, pieces of traffic. That's a lot of messages back and forth.
You actually went it up with total count before it was all over. It's a little over 180,000 messages and in excess of 60,000 phone patches, and that's just for the Army. Now we got to include the Navy and the Air Force, and you know, likewise, they had a very high, tremendous.
Oh, really? I thought that was all. So you mean the Navy did all? Do you know how many you did? Oh, he doesn't know. Okay, well, next year we'll have the Chief of Navy Mars here. He'll know. And okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's one of the beauties of the program. Again, you know, we've been around since 1927, and a lot of people don't realize, but it was the hams, primarily ARL, that started getting the Mars program going. They provided the instructions to our first Army trainers, if you may, into radio operations. And, of course, when World War II kicked out, and it's going before my age, Ken, you know, I'm
younger
here.
You're a youngie.
But in either case, a lot of the folks that volunteered to join the Army were radio operators based on their ham training. And that's one of the reasons why Mars has survived. We bring into the ham arena a military operation.
Okay, well, I really thank you, Robert, and I'm honored, seriously, because I know that you had a small health problem that you've overcome.
Kidney stones.
Overcoming, and I'm glad about that, and I'm really honored and happy that you came to this event. I know we talked about it about 6 months ago or longer, but still, I appreciate you coming down, and I'm glad to hear that you sent messages and that you got new recruits. So this was a very good ham get-together.
Oh, no doubt about it. And again, our pleasure. For those listening today, Ken gave me a call a number of months ago. I thought he forgot about me. We didn't forget
about him. No, never.
And he brought up the fact that you're having this wonderful activity up here and would Mars be interested. And we leaped at it, and I'm glad we came. We thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, getting hams together and Mars promoting the program. We're all in here to serve our country, and that's what it's all about. And we love your program. Just got to increase your power to get it down here to Sierra Vista.
Well, if we can put out 750,000 watts like the National Weather Service does, we'll be in good shape.
Right.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much, Ken.
Okay.
It's been our pleasure.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Bob, do you want to give us a number for Navy Mars, too? And just a quick fast thing. This is Bob Schutz, and he is Mr. Navy Mars here for the state of Arizona. Welcome, Bob.
Hi, Len. Glad to be here again. If you have any inquiries in the Phoenix area, just call me, Bob, at 992-8269.
Okay. I thank you, Bob. And were they all Army Mars recruits, or did you get a few Navy guys?
Oh, we got some. The Tin Can Sailors that you mentioned
okay.
earlier.
All right.
Our big thing, though, was the PAC-TOR demonstration. I had never seen PAC-TOR run before, and that is neat.
Uh-huh. So you did get it operating.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, and I didn't get to see it. Shucky poos. Okay. Thank you, Bob. Okay, we want to find out where Larry Brown from AMSAT is and get him out over here. Could someone find Larry Brown from AMSAT? We're ready for him. And before we do that, let's take a short break here, and let's talk about Wallpaper World. Wallpaper World, Blind Mania, with six locations in the Valley. They've been here since 1977. And if you need custom window treatments, custom wallpaper, or regular wallpaper, they're the place to go. They have trained consultants in each store to help you. They give 80% off and more on quality products like Levalore and Bally and all the other major brands. And one thing about Wallpaper World that other people can't even come close to competing, and that is Wallpaper World will install the products absolutely free if you buy a minimum order of four or more blinds. So not only do you get the special low prices on the custom products and the brand names, but you get free installation with very minimum orders. So when you're interested in wallpaper or custom window treatments, there is no other place to go than Wallpaper World Blind Mania. Call them at 272-4788. That's 272-4788 for more information or the location nearest you. Wallpaper World really does make selecting wallpaper and custom window treatments an enjoyable experience. Okay, you're listening to Ham Radio and More here on KFNN, and we're broadcasting live, getting a little thin out here, but we're broadcasting live because it did end at 5 o'clock technically, here at Rawhide, and we're going to have dinner here in about 35 minutes. Can't wait for the juicy steak and a band and all kinds of other stuff. So, but right now we've got Larry Brown, and your call sign is NW7N, that's what I'm going to look at. And Larry is from Tucson, and he's from AMSAT. And for those who don't know what AMSAT is, Larry, tell us what it is.
Okay, AMSAT is the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. It's a nonprofit educational corporation whose goals primarily include the construction, launching, and operation of amateur radio satellites and promoting the operation among ham radio satellites within the amateur radio community.
People are unaware. I'll tell you, we were talking about this just with a bunch of friends of mine who are not hams, and one of them just asked me, said, "You wouldn't, guys, you know, you talk about satellites and space and stuff. You don't have a satellite up in space for ham radio, do you?" And I said, "No, we don't have one. We have many." And he was shocked to find out that there are satellites up there for no reason but for us hams to enjoy ourselves.
Oh, okay, well, I can understand that. It's something that a lot of the public would not be aware of and would not probably think of. But we launched our first satellite in 1961, only about 4 years after Sputnik, and it's been a continuing activity ever since. At the moment, there, I believe, are 14 amateur radio satellites on orbit and in service.
14? Does that include the microsats?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And we have, I believe, four more scheduled to launch this coming Friday.
Really? On what? On a French missile, or?
Yeah, it's going to be an Ariane launch vehicle. Uh-huh. There's an Italian microsat. There's a ham radio microsat.
When we say microsat, you want to explain what that is?
Okay, a microsat is a satellite, a very, very small satellite. It's basically a cube 9 inches on a side that has its own solar power generating capability. It has radios. It has the capability of doing usually packet radio and sometimes some FM capability. It's it's got its own computer control system in it. It's really a very sophisticated piece of hardware in a very, very small package.
The beauty of satellite is, for a no-code tech, if they want to talk all over the world, they've got two options as a no-coder. One, they can do it through repeaters on packet. That's one way. And I'm not a no-code, but I do use packet, and I talk to my friend in Chicago all the time via nodes on packet on 2 meters. But the only other way, which is really a fun way, and they can go direct immediately, is via satellite. And there are satellites available for no-code tech, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every all but one mode of one small Russian satellite, the no-code technician license has complete capability to take and use them. They have all the privileges of any other amateur radio operator. There is one other way that they can go. It's a very high-tech and very difficult way, and that's EME, Earth, Moon, Earth.
Okay, yes, yes. Yeah, but you see, but really they can't, because EME, they use Morse code to send whether they've received it or not, and so they're going to hear a did-a-dit for an hour, and that means you received it. How'd you like that I knew what Morse, and I knew what an hour was, guys? You're proud of me now? Anyway, but really, so I laugh about that, but if they're totally no code and they don't know any letters, then no. And they probably, that's pretty hard to have, EME, because we discussed that with AA7A a couple weeks ago, and he was on the show, and you're talking about a pretty elaborate array. I mean, it's not like a handy-talkie getting on AO10 or whatever, whichever Oscar it is, that you can use even a handy-talkie to hit. If you want to do EME, you better have an antenna array and a few watts of power.
Oh, yeah. EME is absolutely probably the premier challenge in ham radio in many respects. And you have a lot of money and a lot of effort in building a station.
And what about Dave Blaschke down there in Manville, Texas, with his 1 acre DXCC, 150 different countries on EME?
Oh, yeah. But you can sit there and do the same thing through the amateur radio satellite program. We have two satellites, especially right now, that give the all the users basically worldwide coverage, and they're very easy to use. You can sit there and talk to people, stations, pretty much anywhere in the world.
I want to give an announcement here. 230-2755 is our phone number here at Ham Radio and More on KFNN. 230-2755, 230-2755, or 1-800-293-KFNN. This is a rare opportunity to talk to Mr. AMSAT of Arizona. He is, you know, as high as you can go in the state of Arizona. I mean, he's not quite on the shuttle mission this time, but it's as high as you can go on AMSAT for Arizona. So if you're if you want to have any questions at all for Larry Brown, and you have any questions about AMSAT, here it is. It can be answered now, 230-2755. This is not a CEREX mission, is it?
The current mission is not a CEREX mission. The next CEREX mission is scheduled to, I believe, launch, I think it's the 14th of October. And the Carl Hayden Community High School is scheduled to contact the astronauts.
And that will be great, a local school getting involved with the astronauts, which we're going to talk to them in a few moments. Okay, now, let's just, before we conclude with you, Larry, there's a big project that AMSAT is working on now. Before I get to that, in fact, what does an average microsat cost to put up?
Well, the first microsats that we built them for about $35,000 a piece. For lots and lots of free labor, and that was just basically out-of-pocket expenses on parts.
Are we able to get the launch done free?
Not anymore. The current launches and everything, basically it's $500,000 a shot for a satellite, for a microsat, plus the cost of building the microsat and everything.
Okay, so we're looking at $750,000.
Maybe in that neighborhood.
Okay. But you guys have got a project underway called Phase 3D, and that's scheduled for launch when?
Right now, that's scheduled for launch about, I believe, February of 1996. It's only 1,000 days away.
1,000 days away. Okay. And that one is in the area of $5 million?
Yes, this is going to be far and away the grandfather of all of our satellite projects. It's going to be 21 feet across from the wingspan on the solar panels.
So, and a microsat is how big across?
The microsat's 9 inches across.
9 inches? And this is 35 feet?
No, 21 feet.
21 feet. Oh, my God. Okay.
Microsat weighs maybe 25 pounds. This thing's going to weigh in the neighborhood of 900 pounds.
Wow. Okay. All right. And $5 million. And what will this do that a microsat cannot do?
Well, this is going to give us all the capability of the microsat for packet radio, and basically it's going to give us worldwide coverage. This satellite is going to make it much, much easier for every ham radio operator to become involved in the satellite program. The signal strengths are going to be about 10 to 15 dB stronger than any of our current satellites. It's going to be in an orbit that's much easier to predict. When you can use it. In fact, you're going to be in Arizona. In this part of the country, you're going to be able to use it approximately 36 hours out of every 48.
Really? Wow.
And the antennas are always going to be pointing towards the Earth. The transmitters are going to be much more powerful.
Any ATV?
There's planned to be a very special system through ATV. As you know, because of the bandwidth involved, we're implementing a digital ATV system capability. That will give basically worldwide ATV.
Wow, that would that not be fantastic, be able to do ham radio television all over the world? Whew.
Well, it ought to be very interesting. This is going to be based on the conferencing television technology that's out there now. And I believe there's a group back in, if I remember right, back in Detroit that's working this effort and working to make it to where it's affordable for the ham radio community.
Well, Larry, I appreciate you spending the time. I know you have to drive back to Tucson. I hope you was it a good reception? What did you think of Fair?
I had a great time. I thought the only problem was I didn't get out and see the swap meet this morning. stayed too busy in here, but we had a lot of people come by. We made several satellite contacts.
Super.
And it was really a good day. I thoroughly enjoyed it, Lynn.
And AMSAT has tracking systems and all kinds of programs available to track the satellites and help you actually in getting on AMSAT or getting on the satellites and the Oscars, as they're called. So if people want more information, do you have a suggestion for them, who to call or what to do?
Well, yes, they should call the AMSAT office in Washington, D.C. I wish I had remembered to bring the phone number.
I don't have it here.
And we'd like to remind everybody that AMSAT membership is really quite nominal. There's a lot of benefits to AMSAT membership, and one of the chief ones is the fact that you're really helping progress the amateur radio satellite program and really promote it. And I believe we're going to see just a revolution in our communication capability in the next couple of years.
Well, Larry, I thank you for this thumbnail sketch of AMSAT, and we'll have you back again. I know we've talked about it, and we've, of course, done AMSAT shows, but I've not had you on personally, and so I appreciate this opportunity to have you here. And, again, we'll hope to see you at FAIR next year, and we'll probably see you. I don't know if you're going to come up for the Superstition Club one in December, are you? Good, super. So we'll see you there.
Okay, Lynn. Thank you very much, Larry, for having me.
Okay. Larry from AMSAT, Larry Brown, AMSAT. Okay. Okay, Carl Hayden is next. You can have a seat here. I need to do another commercial break. tell you you're listening to Ham Radio and More here on KFNN. We're doing this live from Rawhide. Our phone number is 230-2755, 230-2755. And I'd like to hear from you, even though we're talking about a lot of different things here. But I'd like to hear from you if you were here at our event and have a comment. We were in nursery school today. This was nursery school. Next year we'll graduate to kindergarten, and then we'll go up from there. So we learned a whole lot of stuff that we did wrong today, but I know we did one or two things correct, and we'll just build on that for next year. Financial Planning Unlimited. Again, I want to tell you about Financial Planning Unlimited. Norm and Betty Peterson, 274-0371 is their phone number. They're located just south of Camelback on 12th Street. Normally, I would not represent a financial planning company or a company that wants to take your money and do something with it because I don't know who they are. I can't say that they're trustworthy, etc. But when I put my name on something, I have to stand behind it. And I'm telling you that I have known Norm Peterson and Betty Peterson for quite a few years now, and I do business personally as well as in my business with them. We're extremely satisfied, and you would be also. They're financial planners. They are IRA rollover specialists. They are retirement specialists. They will do tax returns. The first appointment is complimentary. If you know, if they do something for you, you don't like it, they will give you your money back. I don't know any financial planners that do that. Could you imagine? Okay, they've been in business for 15 years as a tax specialist and a certified financial planner. They, again, their first interview is free. When a client pays for a plan, their satisfaction is guaranteed or they refund the money. And here's a real key point, seriously. They are totally independent. Therefore, they don't have any big firms that they have to, you know, cotton down to. I mean, they can use any and all organizations that will be the best for your money. They will gladly furnish referrals, and there is no pressure. No one's going to try to sell you anything. I'm telling you that if you need somebody for IRAs, stockbroker, insurance, retirement, etc., and now is the time to plan. Don't wait till tomorrow because you wasted a day that you could have earned income. Unless you're happy with your 1.2% on your IRA right now and your CD, 1.2%. If you want to increase it, give Betty and Norm Peterson a call. Norm Peterson is a certified financial planner and an enrolled agent. He's the president of Financial Planning Unlimited. Give him a call, 274-0371. Again, 274-0371. You will be happy that you did that, and you'll be making money immediately when you utilize them. Okay, Financial Planning Unlimited. We're here now with Alan Cameron, N7UJJ. And Alex Reyes, KC4UFM, and they represent Carl Hayden High School. And tell us first, what did you guys think of FAIR?
You have two people that can answer. You get a lot of dead time, I guess.
Okay, Alex.
We had a ball. We met a lot of teachers, met a lot of kids, made a lot of new friends, met a lot of people, like Larry Brown just a moment ago, who's going to be working with us over the next month. It's the first time we met him. It was homecoming for some of the hams that we've met at the previous swap meets and ham fest, and met a lot of new people, a lot of people you don't normally see at a ham fest, a lot of kids.
Yes, we did have, that's one thing I will say, we had more families and more children than any other ham fest, and I think we achieved something by that. We did achieve our goal of kids.
And another little aspect, even though yours truly's here, we're here rather early. I think most of the people started coming about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and stayed till about 3, 4. Looks like your crowd's down to less than 100 now, but it's that was kind of pleasant. I really kind of enjoyed that. People seem to be lingering around a little bit longer.
Well, I think I know a lot of different things we can improve on again next year, but so far we've done very well. Alex, okay. What did you think of FAIR as opposed to
one of the normal ham fests that you have gone to, like even Tud Hill a couple months ago?
In this one, you can bring your whole family, your wife, your son, your daughter, and they will have a ball here because they will have, like, Ronald McDonald, they will have food, they will have a lot of tables to visit. And I think it's not only the fat meat, because for family it's boring.
Okay, yeah, so that's true. And a lot of people here, they went through the swap meet of about, there were 43 different people here at one time selling merchandise. And then the people, after they saw those 43, they came in here and walked around. And the bird display, I'm telling you, that one really got a lot of kids. And the mariachi band from Carl Hayden, I want to publicly thank Carl Hayden for coming here. And they put on a great show. I mean, the music was good. The dancing was good. They worked hard.
Yes, we have like 30 students on stage, and I think they are getting better every day. They spend the whole summer rehearsing and training with professional singers and dancers, and now I think the work is showing up now.
Well, they did very good, and I mean, they had a crowd. I mean, all the seats around it were watching, they were filled, and the people, even in the booth, were listening and watching, so I thought that was very good. Now, Carl Hayden High School, you've got about how many kids now in your ham radio club?
I guess right now we have like 25, 30, because we have a new student coming. Even we have one that is a handicap, and we would like for him to become a ham, as you know, with Dottie, I don't remember the name, the handy hands or whatever.
Oh, Dottie, sure, Dottie Brown, yeah, K70
SA. I was asking her about what equipment to acquire for him, and I think she's going to let me know.
Okay, she was here, and she had her hats for hams, and I think she did fairly well. Let's talk real briefly, but you have an upcoming event at Carl Hayden High School, which we touched on a little earlier, that is a major international event. Tell us about it.
We have been waiting since April for this event. We are going to talk to the Space Shuttle Columbia next month. Right now, the scheduled date for launching is the 14th of October, and we will be talking to them 5 days, 5 hours later on Orbit 81. Then I think it's going to be around 8 o'clock in the morning, a Tuesday, if they hold the launch date. And we are preparing the tracking antennas. We already bought all the equipment, and we are trying to set it up maybe in 2 weeks to try to train our students how to track satellites.
Well, I'm looking very forward to it, and I want to be there. And you guys, I've said this only about 10,000 times, and I know I keep going back to it. Alex, you and I were at the Southwest Division Convention, and we were walking up the stairs to Carol Perry's Youth Forum, and we started talking, and you wanted to get Carl Hayden High School involved with amateur radio. And I said, we're going to do it. We're going to find a way. You kept pushing. And then I saw you again at an ARA meeting. And I said, you're coming to the next Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club meeting, and we're going to get you a station. And you came to the next Scottsdale Amateur Club meeting, and we put together, we gave you, I think it was $1,000 or whatever worth of equipment, or we might even been cheap and spent less than that. And we put together a station for you, and we just basically put the start of it, and you guys have run like mad. You tell us what you have in your station now.
Right now we have a complete ATV station. We have a packet station for VHF. We have a packet for HF. We have a Kenwood TS-450, I guess. And the next step is going to be our satellite station. Now we have the antennas, all the rotators. We need only the radio, but it's going to be the next step. We use a computer to run all our stations because we are a computer magnet in Phoenix, and then we like to use the computers.
And also, in addition to that, at the
No, I forgot what I was going to say. In the CEREX mission, you got involved in, and you're one of the few schools in the whole country to be able to talk to them. So you've been able to do that, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. And ATV, the ATV station you got, I mean, I'm drooling, and all the ATVers are drooling from the extent that you guys have gotten. And you've got people in there giving them tests, general class license. I know David Rice just missed advanced, but you'll get an advanced class. Somebody will be in advanced class.
Get one more general.
Maybe we'll even get, Alex, if you keep practicing. Did you want to say something?
I did. I forgot what it was. Oh, I heard that little sound of all the hams out there going, boy, they didn't have that when I went to school.
Well, I know what I was going to say. And you guys came in second in the country the school roundup.
Yeah.
I mentioned that last week or the week before. But that's a real good pat on the back you deserve for that. So I take my hat off and I congratulate you guys. All we did was give you the framework and you ran with it and made Carl Hayden High School one of the best schools or one of the best clubs around.
But you know, that's only the beginning. I think the Tri-Arc Club just adopted Mesa Junior High and is setting them up with the station. We have Pueblo Junior High down in Chandler.
And, of course, we also, Scottsdale, take on Kyrene Middle School.
Yeah, and then I was talking to a teacher today at Camelback High School. They're starting a station. So, you know, it's starting to move around here. And I'll tell you what, once the kids are exposed to ham radios, they love it. We seem to have gone through a 10 or 15-year lull of attracting new kids into amateur radio. That's going to turn around. All we have to do is wiggle our little fingers.
Well, you know, Carl Hayden High School is really a natural, though, for it, because you've got the people who are so excited about computers and technology already, and the way that computers intermingle with amateur radio today. I mean, there's not a ham that doesn't have a computer in his station, you know, except you, Alex. So, you know, but anybody, so really, Carl Hayden High School is the perfect place for it. And again, thank you.
Well, thank you, too.
And thank you for having the mariachi band, giving me that impetus to get them here. And thanks for all the work you've done. And the electric car that was here. The electric car was going around in circles there. I thought the steering was ruined, but it was going around. But it looked good. So I thank them also. Got a lot of people watching it, looking at it.
Then we are looking forward to see you the day of our talk, the CEREX talk.
I will be there, believe me. I am looking forward to it. Thank you, Carl, and thank you, Alex. See, there's still people here in our studio audience. Okay, I need to tell you about Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall. And by the way, the guy, Wallpaper World was here today. Ken and Betty and Norm Peterson were here from Financial Planning Unlimited. And Ken Nichols was here from Linda Brock Auto Mall. WA7HXZ, he's the fleet manager of Linda Brock Auto Mall. I saw, upon getting into the entrance here, a truck that said WA7NIY on it. A big Dodge Ram 250, was it? I think. And I don't know much about it, but I think a Dodge Ram 250. And he bought his truck from Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall. Now, again, I mentioned Ken Nichols. But Ken Nichols, of course, is the fleet manager for Linda Brock. And I need to tell you, seriously, if you're looking to buy any new vehicle, anyone, I mean, it doesn't matter whether Linda Brock carries it or not, but of course, if they do, he has it in stock. But no matter what, he is the person to call for the lowest prices. I got my Infiniti from him. My friend got his Chevy truck from him. I have a Chevy truck from him. And so also for my business. Let me tell you, you will save money if you go through Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall. He can be reached at 228-2336, 228-2336. Just give him a call, tell him the make, the model, and the options that you want, and you will be happy. You will save money. There's no pressure. There's no attitude there. It's just good service and low prices. So give Ken a call at 228-2336. I really appreciate Ken's support for Ham Radio and More since the beginning. So again, give Ken a call, 228-2336. Fleet prices direct to you. Give him a call. Right now, we have Dan Meredith, N7MRP, and we have Tim Durkin, and his call sign is WB6UAN. And I just want Tim to speak first, and because I've never had Tim on this show before. Tim is representing ARCA, and a lot of people hear ARCA, they have no idea what the heck ARCA is. Tell everybody.
Okay, it stands for Amateur Radio Council of Arizona. And what we do is we sponsor all the various ham fests in the state of Arizona, including this one, I might add.
Yes, and I want to strongly thank you for giving us the seed money. I mentioned it last week a couple of dozen times,
sure.
But I'll mention it again in front of you, that I publicly thank ARCA, because if it wasn't for ARCA, we would never have gotten the seed fund we needed to start out fair.
Well, it's important because of the kids and the family, to get the families and the children involved in amateur radio. It's a great hobby, and the more we get our young people involved in this, the better our country will be in the long run. Also, we coordinate all the frequencies in Arizona, 2 meter, 440 repeaters, and even the 1296. All the repeaters are coordinated, and we're the central coordinator for all.
We'll have to get Ralph Turk one of these days on the air. I've never had the pleasure. What are you laughing at? I never had the pleasure of having him on the air, but because some people ask about how do they decide what to coordinate and everything.
It's difficult. It's a lot. It's very, very involved because there's so many repeaters, especially down here in the southern part of the state. I live up in the northern part of the state, and it isn't quite as hectic. But Ralph has got a big job. And, of course, he has his
own
people.
Minute. You said a big job. Now, somebody out there thinks he gets paid for this.
No. What we do here, and every amateur radio operator involved, there's no pay. It's all volunteer work. Everything I do for amateur radio is voluntary basis. We do not get paid for it.
And I want everyone to know that at FAIR, I did not make one penny. Anybody that thinks I did made, in fact, it cost me money because I had to buy drinks for people. And Ronald McDonald, I got him. it cost me money. So, but I'm glad to do it for amateur radio.
Yeah, I think you've done a swell job there, Lynn. It's hard to believe that you can get this many people together at one time. Boy, you did an excellent job of it.
Well, the only thing I will say again is I will take credit for being the one that had the idea.
Yes.
But I don't take credit for the people being here, nor for the displays or anything, because 13 clubs and organizations took part in what this is. And they all publicized it. They all helped do it. And if it was just me, there's only, you see, I'm not that big. There's not enough for me to go around. So, and neither is there for Dan. A lot to go, or you for that matter.
Yeah, I could eat a lot, though.
It was everyone's support. I mean, everyone, including the people who weren't here in a booth, but who came here and viewed it, because they were participant and they were helpful, making us be able to do it and drive us to do better next year.
That's right. It's hard. The first time you ever did it, like that was the first time I ever done Fort Tuthill. And, of course, being chairman of Fort Tuthill, it's a real big responsibility. And for you, I said, oh, poor Lynn. You got to go through this for the first time like I did. I said, I feel sorry for you. But you did a swell job.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
And we're just glad to be able to sponsor your group and the Family Amateur Radio event. You did a swell job. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. And and thank ARCA again. And we'll look for doing some good stuff this year.
Sure.
And I get the ARCA minutes and stuff, and I talk about what I get on it, and I read from it whenever I receive it. So I try to give you as much publicity as possible.
You guys are needed.
Job.
Yes, well, you can't do it alone, and we know that.
And I thank Cliff Hauser also, the former president and the ARRL section coordinator.
You can't say enough for Cliff. He's just tremendous person, and what he's done for the community and for the state of Arizona is just tremendous. And
okay.
To have another person like that, we got it made.
Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be here.
Okay, and now we have Dan Meredith. I told you we're moving fast. N7MRP. Now, Dan, between you and Lee Finkel, I think there's about 19 visits on Ham Radio and More show. And Dan, tell us a little about the Intertie Group, and what did you guys do today?
Well, we were in combination with the American Red Cross. I'm a co-chairman down there, and along with the rest of us, there's about six of us, and we're all sharing the chairmanship this year. And we had our portable packet sending some NTS traffic out from some members from ASNET. And that's the packet club for the state. I don't know of any others that exist other than the, of course, the DX cluster has their packet stuff. But for the regular packet users, that's what we provide them is various BBS services, et cetera, and nodes to use and help support the other systems around the state. But we had a demonstration of packet, had an interesting well-attended digital forum this morning.
I noticed
with several people
I did on that.
And we covered anywhere from Packet to AmTOR, RIDI, PacTOR, and Morgan Hoagland, WW7B, helped me on that. And on the other modes, he talked about the areas that I'm not so familiar with, and that was a big help. And we had a real good turnout for that. That was a lot of fun, and we just lightly touched on everything. But also at the same time, we teamed up with Skywarn with us at the same time, and we had a I think our traffic at the booth there was nonstop. We had a lot of people over there. I was amazed looking at
your
some of the
booth,
others.
Your booth and the face painting.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. I'm just curious about these tickets. Does this mean all the borough rides I can get?
Yeah, all the borough. You can even take one home.
No, oh, and the kids' territory.
Real fast, you want to give a plug to the Arizona Intertie Group if people want to help support an organization that is a packet organization for the state of Arizona.
And let me tell you, it is growing. You can send me an SASE, and I'll send you an updated map and newsletter at P.O. Box 44563. P.O. Box 44563, of course, Phoenix, Arizona, 85064. The zip again, 85064. Or if you want any more information, give me a call at 956-2566. Leave a message on my Audix. I'd be happy to return your call, or if I'm there, I might even really answer. The BBS is also on there, 956-2566, .44.
Well, Dan is amazing. I've known him for about 3 years now, and started out as this juvenile delinquent and has matured into this
a lot, Lee.
and has matured into Mr. Packet, as I call him. So we really are honored at in Arizona. Not honored, but we're really lucky and fortunate in Arizona to have you really pushing Packet, because I love Packet.
I appreciate that. And just one last plug, I am so happy for Bill, one of the members of our club, winning that TS50S. That was great.
Yeah, that's because you get to use it now, I heard, a rumor.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I think we're my music is about to show up. Ah, there it is. And
that's the one-minute warning.
One-minute warning. Thank you, Ted Lake. I know you're going to go into news in a minute. I want to thank every single person who either came out to fair, thought about us, or who helped and made it as great an event as it was. And the ATV group, they put up monitors all over, and I don't want to leave them out. I don't want to leave out the Scottsdale Club and the Superstition Club that kept on drawing raffles and everybody else. Congratulations to all the winners. Thanks to Wallpaper World and Ken Nichols of Linda Brock Auto Mall and Financial Planning Unlimited for helping sponsor this hour of Ham Radio and More. I'll be back next week. I'm supposed to be talking about long wave next week. Not short wave, but long wave. I don't know much about it. It's supposed to be right about the AM band, and they listen to beacons all over the world. So listen next week to Ham Radio and More. And thanks again from live from Rawhide. This is KB7LPW 73 Arizona.
You've been listening to Ham Radio and More with Len Winkler, KB7LPW. Ham Radio and More is brought to you by Wallpaper World and Ken Nichols. Join Len again next Sunday at 4 p.m. for the next transmission of Ham Radio and More.
This is KFNN.